You might be a dog on the internet, but nobody can tell for sure. Confidence in who people say they are online is vital to a cyber-secure future for government and industry and individuals. People at the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace have been working on this problem within the Commerce Department for a couple of years now. Jeremy Grant is the Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. He joins me now with some recent progress. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's start with the three grants that came out just about a month ago from the NSTIC program. Those seem pretty interesting. I guess we can talk about them one by one. And the first one I'll ask you about is GSMA. Who are they and what will they be doing under this grant?
Sure. So GSMA is it's actually the GSMA Foundation for Mobile Development. The GSMA is an organization that represents mobile network operators, the cell phone operators around the world. And they came to us with a really interesting proposal to develop a concept that they call Mobile Connect, which is based off of a new standard, OpenID Connect. The idea being pulling together a few of the major mobile network operators here in the U.S. to come up with a common standardized approach. So regardless of the carrier you're on, you could actually use your smartphone for multi-factor authentication online. It'd be a really easy way, one, to make sure that consumers have a token in their hands based on their smartphone that they could actually use to log in at different sites across the internet, and two, arguably more importantly, an easy way to make sure that online businesses, whether they be giant retailers or Bob's Bait and Fishing Shop or even Federal News Radio, if they wanted to integrate with that solution, they would simply have a single point of integration regardless of what carrier your cell phone network was.
So how does that tie into something like the Apple Pay that everybody's been standing on one leg waiting for?
Well, you know, one thing we always talk about is the identity market is very quickly evolving and a lot of new solutions are emerging. Apple Pay, I'm actually excited to try it this week since I got my iPhone 6 a couple weeks ago, is, you know, much more focused on payments. And I think within the Apple ecosystem, it'll be another good approach to, you know, providing an additional layer of security and identity verification. You know, what's interesting about what we're seeing with the mobile operators coming into this is they're looking to come up with something that wouldn't matter regardless of, you know, what operating system you had on your smartphone or even if you had a smartphone at all. You know, keep in mind we still have a good part of the population that hasn't yet migrated to smartphones. This is a solution that would work interoperably across all of those devices.
So this would be something like a one-time passcode sent to you by text message that would be more universally available than it is now.
Could be that. It could be supported through a few other ways as well. I think one of the things that we're seeing with mobile devices is there's a lot of different ways to leverage them for second factor. So it could be one-time password through text. It could be an app on your phone where you might get a push notification if you do have a smartphone. It could even be something that you could simply get a phone call and pick up. We're seeing once people actually are holding these devices in their hands, if you know that they're legitimate devices, there's a lot of things that you can do with them for that second factor, or even give consumers choice in terms of which one they'd like to use, which often is the best solution of all.
So this is a grant that you have given and not a contract. So what would the deliverable be to the government under this research program?
One thing I do point out with our grants is our pilots usually put together big teams of, you know, big companies that aren't always ready to fully, I think to use the Star Trek term, decloak right off the bat. So there's some details that we're not, you know, getting into every layer of detail. But the deliverable will basically be at a high level, you know, one, exploring this concept more and figuring out in the United States what is the right solution or set of solutions for authentication, and then two, running a series of pilots both in the lab and then eventually out in an operational environment with live transactions, actually testing the solution different places.
Okay, so the second grant went to a company called Confirm, and they're going to demonstrate ways to minimize loss when criminals create fake accounts. What will they be looking at?
So Confirm's a really interesting company. They're a little startup based out of San Francisco, although they're backed, the folks who are driving them are people who ran identity at firms like PayPal, Google, VMware in the past. And they are tackling what's really been a long-time problem with account takeovers. You know, when you look at all the different fraud we have online, when you hear about these different password-based breaches, more often than not, you are seeing adversaries, you know, hackers and other bad guys, either looking to take over an account and then use it for fraudulent purposes, you know, at a high level, just sending spam, or at a more nefarious level, actually looking to, you know, actually do a bunch of fraudulent transactions with that account. Or many times an account isn't even a person. It might be a bot that created it for the same purpose. So one thing that they found talking to a lot of different companies, including the ones they worked for, is all of these companies have signals. They basically are able to see when there are indicators that suggest that an account is not really in the hands of the rightful owner, but there's never been a way to share them with other service providers before. And so if you try to get people to trust different accounts online as a proxy for your identity, there's been a huge concern in the past of, well, how can we really trust it? They're looking to set up a service that basically takes what they call a shared signals approach, which would come up with a way for a number of different major online service providers to share signals that they're seeing that accounts have actually been taken over, and then that those signals can then be shared with other online service providers who are also part of the network. So we look at it as a way to put a novel architecture in place that would allow a lot of this information to be shared, reducing account fraud, reducing the value of hijacked accounts, while also doing it in a way that enhances security and privacy.
Jeremy Grant is the Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So that idea of shared signals kind of parallels what the administration has been trying to do in terms of getting industry partners to share cyber information with among themselves and with the government in such a way that it's can be done without violating competition and so forth.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of similarities in the concept there. There's a lot of information that's out there today when it comes to cybersecurity that if we can get it into the right hands, we could actually start to leverage it more effectively. This pilot, I think, is another way to explore how that can be done in a way that makes identity and accounts more secure online.
And the third grant is for it went to Morpho Trust USA. I think that's a company that has a pretty long history now in identity management issues, to increase the value of state-issued credentials for other purposes than, say, driving your car.
Yeah, so Morpho Trust is actually partnering with the North Carolina, both their DMV as well as their Department of Health and Human Services, and the idea is to look at how the in-person proofing that you go through when you get a driver's license in North Carolina, for somebody who needs to then apply for public assistance for benefits in North Carolina, how can that credential that you were given be abstracted to a digital credential that can allow you to apply for benefits without actually having to show up in person at a North Carolina Health and Human Services office? So it's a nice way to look at how states can leverage the work that they're already doing in identity, come up with a digital abstraction of it, and then offer more valuable citizen services as a result.
And once you have a digital abstraction, maybe you don't need the card anymore.
There is some very interesting talk about that these days. There are certainly some folks who say, why can't I just carry my driver's license as an app on the smartphone? You talked about Apple Pay earlier. I'll be able to load up my credit card in there, you know, later this week, and at least some stores not have to present a real card. I think, you know, look, there's no formal position on this, but if you do look at where things are going in the marketplace, it's not an unreasonable thing to suggest that we may get there at some point.
All right, I just hope 7-Eleven has that pay system, because I've got one of those phones too, and it'd be nice to buy coffee that way. And so now also, while we have you, briefly this morning, the White House is saying that they want federal agencies to use the chip and PIN technology cards,
yes,
which is kind of taking the federal government from the 80s to the maybe early 2000s with respect to identity technology. Step in the right direction?
Oh, I think so. You know, I was actually with the president. I shouldn't say with him. I was in a room with the president on Friday at the CFPB when he announced the executive order on this. And I think it's something that's long overdue. You know, when you look at the fraud rates associated with magnetic stripe cards versus chip and PIN, I think it was MasterCard, you know, mentioned at a conference, it was eight times the fraud rate that we have in the U.S. So just embracing, you know, where the rest of the world has already gone with technology is pretty important. But we were, you know, personally a little more excited to see language in the executive order that specifically referenced NSTIC and set a requirement in place for all government agencies within 18 months to, if they are releasing personal data through an application, they will now require use of multi-factor authentication bound to robust identity proofing. And we think that's going to go a long way to accelerating the government's adoption of the president's strategy, and more importantly, helping to develop a whole new range of secure applications that are data-centric for sharing information with citizens online and enabling citizens to do more with their government than they can today.
So overall, the NSTIC has been on the burner for quite a while. It sounds like things are starting to come to a boil.
You know, I'm pretty pretty excited. We've been simmering for a while, and I'd say, you know, I'll take that a step further and say, yeah, we're boiling. I mean, it's been 3.5 years since the president signed the strategy, and at the time, you know, we always point out it was a strategy. It was a, you know, vision of what the marketplace should look like over the next few years. In the, you know, 3.5 years since the president signed NSTIC, the market's really responded. There's a lot of firms offering multi-factor authentication to their customers, which is helping to ensure a lot of the more common password-centric attacks aren't viable. And between, you know, more than a dozen pilots that we've awarded and a bunch of other advancements in the marketplace, as well as what we're now doing in government, you know, things are really moving at a great pace. So we're quite excited about the progress that's been made.
Jeremy Grant is Senior Executive Advisor for Identity Management at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Thanks for joining us with that update.